I had a TikTok where I said, it's a wedding, not a frat party. And man, that opened up the comments and people saying things like, well, you've never been to a wedding with my family, or weddings are all about the drinking and the fun. How could you say it's not a frat party? Here's my opinion on this. Have so much fun. Drink all you want. Eat all you want. Do all the things. But don't get to that point where it's just gross. Don't be sloppy. If you are stumbling around and out of control at the end of the night, all of a sudden, things have kind of started to circle around you, not the couple. Live your life within the moment, moment, and don't go wait until the moment. Welcome to The Wedding Plan. My name is Tyler Spire, and I am a luxury event planner based in Santa Barbara, California. This podcast is where I share behind-the-scenes adventures from the picture-perfect events we produce, as well as advice for running your own creative business. Fellow event professionals, small business owners, and those of you who love to throw a good party, you are welcome here. Hey guys, welcome to The Wedding Plan. I had so much fun in the last episode talking about how to be a gracious host. And this podcast is geared towards wedding professionals. But as wedding season is starting, I think it's so important for us as wedding professionals to remember the heart behind what we are doing and how to educate our clients to be gracious and kind hosts. Because wherever you are in the industry, we are the experts that our clients have hired to bring the event to life. And if we are giving good, clear, consistent communication, if we are encouraging them to be kind and gracious hosts through clear communication to their guests, that makes all of our jobs better. It makes the event better. It makes the client happier, and it makes the guests happier because they know what's happening. How many times have we been in a wedding where a guest shows up all flustered because they didn't know what was going on, and energy gets spent by the planning team, the venue team, the catering team, whoever it is, and helping to calm that guest down and make sure they have what they need, whereas that could have all been avoided with good communication ahead of time. So that was really fun to talk about. And today I want to talk about the flip side of that and what it means to be a good, kind, and gracious guest at a wedding or an event. And again, I think it's important that us as wedding professionals understand what it does mean to be a good guest, not so we can be gossiping in the back about how obnoxious that guest is or things like that. Although I do think it's healthy to have debriefs when things are challenging in the appropriate setting with the appropriate people. I love a good debrief after a wedding when something crazy happened to a trusted friend being like, you'll never guess what just happened. That was a lot. Not broadcasting it to the entire vendor team unprofessionally. But anyways, I think it's important that we understand what it means to be a good guest, because often we ourselves are guests. Often our clients themselves are guests at other events. Bridal parties are guests at other events. And again, as the experts in the field, understanding and educating what it means to be a good guest only helps our friends and family and clients and their friends and family be better guests. So at the opposite side of being a good host, right? Being gracious, kind, and clear, we also need the guests to be gracious and kind. And there are 10 tips I have for guests to be a good wedding guest. But before that, I think it's really important to ask ourselves the why. Why are we being a guest? And I think sometimes I observe this as a planner. This gets lost. And the reason to be a wedding guest, you know, if the couple is hosting the wedding to celebrate their marriage and to also celebrate their family and loved ones who have kind of brought them to this moment, I think sometimes guests can show up to a wedding and be like, well, they're here to celebrate me and the part that I've played. And guys, that's just not how it is. That's not okay. When you show up as a guest, you are showing up to love and support and serve the couple, period. That's what you're showing up for. It is not about showing up for a free dinner, an open bar, a fun dance party. Sure, all of those things are super fun and super amazing and such an amazing gift from the couple and or who's hosting to you. But it's exactly that. Those things are a gift to you to appreciate and celebrate the role that you have played in their life. But it is a gift. It is something special that they're doing for you. It is not an expectation that a guest should have. The goal or the purpose of being a guest is to show up to love and serve and support the couple. So with that in mind, everything that I am suggesting, these 10 things on how to be a good guest, needs to be thought about in that light. Are my actions loving and supporting the couple? So number one is when you receive an invitation for an event. First, say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for inviting me. And then secondly, make sure you RSVP, yes or no. You know, if you have hosted a wedding before, you usually understand the intricacies of seating charts and catering and all the things that go into who will be there. You know, at the weddings we do, there's often custom production happening, names being put on special objects that are going to serve as seating chart things. Not having the list of who's coming makes the job of the professional so much harder, but also the couple. And so to be a good guest, to love and serve the couple and be there for them, communicate clearly. Are you coming or are you not? And, you know, there are extenuating circumstances. We've had this happen before where, for example, a close family member is a member of the military and they don't know if they're going to be able to get leave for the wedding until 2 weeks before. That I would consider as an extenuating circumstance. And obviously there are ways to accommodate those extenuating circumstances. But if you were a guest and you don't have a crazy extenuating circumstance, there's no excuse for not RSVPing by the RSVP date. You're either going or you're not. And if you're still unsure at the RSVP date, just RSVP no, because you don't have plans and you need to make those plans. In extenuating circumstances, it makes sense to make an exception, but most circumstances are not extenuating. And whether or not you can find a babysitter is not an excuse for RSVPing yes or no. By the end of the event. Hopefully with good planning and good communication from the couple, you've known about the event coming up, you've had time to plan. So when it's time to RSVP, it's time to RSVP, yes or no. Number two is whoever's names are on the invitation, that is who is invited, no exceptions. It is rude to ask a couple, oh, can I bring my plus one? Or, oh, can I bring my kids? That's rude. Because again, the heart is for you to show up and serve and love the couple. It's not about you. It's about them. And couples have often put a lot of time and love and energy into specifically curating a guest list. And the guest list isn't always just based on their favorite people. There's other factors that go into play. It's their whoever else is hosting the event, parents, bringing in family that they haven't seen in a long time. The venue may have constraints. The budget may have constraints. They may not be able to feed 300 people. And so not everyone's getting a plus one because they wanted it to be less than 150, whatever. But whoever's name is on the invitation, that's who invited. So if I get an invitation, it says to Mr. Tyler Spire, I am the only one invited. If I get an invitation that says to Mr. and Mrs. Tyler and Taylor Spire, Taylor and I are invited, not the kids. I'm not going to ask about the kids. They're not invited. I'm going to get a sitter and have a fun night out. If I get an invitation to Mr. and Mrs. Tyler Spire and family, that denotes that my children are also invited. And often I'll still RSVP no for my kids because I do want a night out. Or if it has specific names of my kids, I've been invited Tyler and Taylor Spire. And then just like the name of our oldest daughter is on the invitation because maybe the younger two weren't invited. Whoever's invited, you decide if you're going or not, and you RSVP yes or no based on that. Number three is, as a guest, dress appropriately. Now, I talked about this in the last episode, how it's really important for couples and hosts to clearly communicate sort of the vision around dress and how to dress appropriately and how to be comfortable. And then it's important as the guest to actually pay attention to that information. If it says we're going to be out on a ranch and make sure you bring a warm coat, do those things so that you can be present and enjoy yourselves and be comfortable yourself so that you can better serve and love on the couple. If the couple was not clear on how to dress, it is not rude though to just send a quick email or text like, we are so excited for your wedding and we're just thinking about what to wear and we wanted to know if you have any dress codes or suggestions. For example, if it's going to be outdoors or something, we just want to dress appropriately and have the most fun with you. Something kind like that is good to get that clear communication so that you can dress up appropriately. If it's a black tie wedding, dress in black tie. If you don't want to dress in black tie, if it said black tie on the invitation and you RSVP'd yes, you are saying, okay, I'll come and I will dress black tie. So dress black tie. attendance is optional, guys, right? And so if you don't want to do it, then you can RSVP no, but it is rude to show up underdressed to a wedding that said it was black tie or said it was formal. And if you don't understand the requirements around that dress code, you can always ask the couple, or with black tie, Google it. There's lots of great resources online to understand so that you can dress appropriately. The next one is, it is etiquette to give a gift. And I think it's really important, you know, especially for destination weddings, if you are paying for flights and if you are, you know, traveling far, you're paying for a hotel, you're paying for a sitter, I get it. Attending a wedding can be expensive. And there have been weddings that I have personally attended that have cost me a lot of money to attend. Even so, you can give something small and sweet as a gift. I think it's important. I think it's part of the etiquette and the tradition around weddings. And I think that as wedding couples and hosts, having an array of things on a registry, some that are at a lower price point and some that are more, allow for people to get different things. Sometimes I'll just give like a small little $20, $25 gift, just something sweet. As a, you know, congratulations on being newly married, or here's a gift certificate to go out to dinner, or here's, you know, a nice bottle of wine is going to be shipped to your house for a date night in. Just something sweet and thoughtful is important. And it's also etiquette to send the gift to the couple either ahead of the wedding, or a lot of these registries have cool things where you can like delay shipment so it arrives after the wedding if that's what they want. But you wouldn't typically bring a gift to the wedding itself. While some people do this, we like to think about it like this. If your goal is to show up to love and serve the couple, at the end of the night, someone has to clean up and pack up those gifts and get them somewhere. And so it's way more convenient for the couple and their parents or whoever it is if you just ship the gift ahead of time, or they have it scheduled for after. So at the end of the night with the wedding, nobody has to worry about the logistics of that gift getting from point A to point B. Number five is be on time. There are so many logistics that surround a wedding day, right? And if something starts late, it impacts the rest of the day. And so we like to tell guests, you know, show up 15 minutes early, be ready to go, to be present and love and support the couple. If you are late, understand that the couple may have just walked down the aisle and you may not be able to enter the ceremony for a little while. I've had guests show up and I've had to say, okay, like, you know, maybe we're at a church and the bride has just gone down the aisle. I've had to say, I need you to wait outside because she's going down the aisle. But as soon as she's down the aisle and we're at an appropriate place in the service, we'll open the doors and let you in. And 9 out of 10 times people are gracious and like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry, we were late. Of course, we don't want to disturb them. But I have literally had guests, you know, say absolutely not and get all angry about it. And some even try to kind of force their way in the church. And granted, I'm a pretty, I have good boundaries as a wedding planner. And I'm able to say, no, that's not what we're going to do right now. That would be really rude to walk right in because she's literally walking down the aisle right now and you'll be in all the photos. But, you know, showing up late is not ideal, but again, things happen, right? Sometimes there's traffic. Sometimes your babysitter shows up late, whatever. If you do show up late, show up with a spirit of graciousness, understanding that you may need to hang back or not enter the ceremony or things like that because the day is about the couple. It's not about you. Number six is be present. I love when couples tell their guests to put away their phones during the ceremony. And even if they're not asking you to put away their phone during the ceremony, put away your phone during the ceremony. There's a professional photographer, videographer, people capturing the day. And unless they have specifically asked you to FaceTime grandpa or please record the vows to text to this cousin or whatever, put your phone away and just be present and immerse yourself in it so that you can love on them. If you're religious, you can pray for them. You can send them good energy. Whatever it is you are doing to be present and to love, love the couple is what you need to do, especially during the ceremony. And also, we often encourage guests to just keep their phones away for the whole night. I mean, yes, it's fun to, you know, take photos or to take some videos of the things that are happening to remember the experience, and that's great, but be present. Enjoy the things. Listen to the toasts. Don't be having a side conversation as the father of the bride is giving a really heartfelt speech. Be present. Be there. To love and support the couple. Because again, it just comes down to being a guest is about being there to love and support the couple. Number seven is have fun. So much fun. That's part of being present, right? But don't be sloppy. I had a TikTok where I said, it's a wedding, not a frat party. And man, that opened up the comments and people saying things like, well, you've never been to a wedding with my family, or weddings are all about the drinking and the fun. How could you say it's not a frat party? And here's my opinion on this. Have so much fun. Drink all you want. Eat all you want. Do all the things. But don't get to that point where it's just gross. Don't be sloppy. If you are stumbling around and out of control at the end of the night, all of a sudden, things have kind of started to circle around you, not the couple. And we often tell our couples to, you know, drink and have fun, but also make sure they're eating protein and drinking water so that they themselves can be present throughout the whole night. And I think for guests, it's really important too. And granted, we've all had times where we've had a little too much to drink or had a little too much fun. What we don't want, though, is to purposefully cross that line to where now it's just sloppy. Now you're stumbling around, you're bumping into tables, you're bumping into people on the dance floor. It takes away the fun element for everybody else. So that's just an encouragement. And the number eight, be positive. Don't complain. I think this comes back to the heart of being at a wedding, but as a wedding planner, I hear all the things, right? And I have heard guest complaints before. And sometimes, you know, there's a difference between a complaint and clear communication. An example of clear communication would be, hey, you know, grandma's in a wheelchair and she's a little cold. What can we do about that? Can we get her some coffee? Can we get her a blanket? Can we move the heater? It's asked in kindness. It's about serving. I've also had weddings where even though we had all the heaters and all the plans, there's a cool ocean breeze. And let me tell you, when there's a breeze, none of us can control that. And even with all the heaters and resources, sometimes there's an unexpected chill. And we've had people be angry about the cold or being like, oh, I can't believe they didn't order more heaters, or I can't believe this and that. And you can think those things. And I've quite frankly thought those things sometimes. But part of being a good guest is not complaining out loud and bringing down the feeling of the event. If the food isn't your favorite, that's great. If you were to go to a friend's house and they were to cook you dinner and you were to be sitting at their table and the food wasn't your favorite, the polite thing to do would be to eat what you can eat, to smile and say thank you so much for dinner. I'm not saying you need to eat something that you're allergic to or that's going to hurt your body, but also there's a way to graciously move forward. And a wedding is a special celebration where someone has invited you into an important milestone in their life, very similar to inviting you into their home, inviting you to something special. And while there are, most weddings are opportunities to communicate preferences and choose your meal and different things, it's not you dining at a restaurant that you are paying for, where at a restaurant, if you're paying for it and the food comes and it's not to your liking, you could consider sending it back, or you could communicate that, or you could whatever it is. A wedding is not like that. You are not footing the bill. You are not the host. Someone else has intentionally chosen this menu because it brings them joy. And as a guest, it is our responsibility to show up, to be present, and to not complain. I've had weddings where, you know, maybe it's a longer ceremony and there's people in the back row rolling their eyes like, oh, this is so long, or oh my gosh, and there's a mass and now they're doing communion. This is ridiculous. And guys, that just like is so sad for me as a planner. Because there's two ways to look at it, right? You can look at it as, wow, this is longer than I would choose. When I get married, I'm going to do something short and sweet because this isn't the tradition that I'm a part of. But if the couple has chosen to have this incredibly beautiful moment and this host you at this amazing thing, it's our job as guests to show up and to not complain. Number nine is say thank you. As a guest, after the event, during the event, go up to the host and say thank you. If the parents are hosting the event, even if you don't know them, find them on the dance floor, find them at dinner and say thank you. This is such an amazing wedding. This is so beautiful, or I really loved this, or whatever it is. Genuine comments, but make sure you say thank you. If you don't get a chance to say thank you, try and communicate afterwards, whether it's with a thank you note, whether it's with an email, with a text to the couple, to the parents, whoever it is, just saying thank you so much. And I think most people do a really good job of this, but it's just a friendly reminder that that communication means so much. And the wedding, regardless of the level of extravagance, regardless of the level of detail, it was an expensive logistical production, regardless of budget even, right? Whoever hosted it paid money, put in a lot of time to make it happen, and they hosted you. It's important to say thank you for that. And then lastly, number 10 is kind of the heart of it all. I started with this, but I like to remind and end on this, is the purpose of being there is to love and serve the couple. Now, most weddings, at least that we do, we have like, you know, dedicated staff focusing on the couple, making sure that, and usually catering teams have dedicated staff on the couple, making sure that they are taken care of, that all their needs are met and that they are comfortable. But if you're at a wedding that's a little more casual or on a tighter budget and there's not dedicated servers or people taking care of the couple, like even as a guest, you can go up and be like, hey, can I grab you a drink at the bar? You know, hey, I noticed you looked a little bit cold. I brought an extra wrap. Do you need one right now? Anything that you can say or do to love on the couple, I think is really important and just kind of contributes to that feeling of intimacy and the family all being around them and just being there to love them and support them. So at a wedding, if you were a guest and it is your really good friends getting married and you see something that you think they could use or do in a spirit of kindness and generosity, go do it. Or if you're noticing that they need something, sometimes you go up and you're like, hey, is there anything I can do for you? And they're like, yes, can you go find my planner and ask for X, Y, or Z? And so I was like, no, I'm so good. Thank you. But just that gesture and that willingness to love and serve, I think makes such a difference. Thankfully, as a wedding planner and having done hundreds of weddings and had hundreds and thousands at this point of guests that we've worked with, 99% of guests are so gracious and kind and joy-filled and love to be there. And I often find that when there's some discontinuity there or something that's not happening, it's often just because of lack of education. Often it's, some of my complaints often come from younger guests who maybe just haven't been to a lot of weddings. And here's the thing, like for me as a wedding planner, I can be gracious and I can be like, you're right. You know, if I was at a hotel ordering a really nice dinner and paying for it myself and something came out that wasn't my favorite, I probably would communicate that to the server. Like, oh, can I try something else? This is just not my favorite, especially if I'm investing and doing that. But the thing is at a wedding, it's just not like that. It's a completely different ballgame. Someone else has picked this menu and is hosting it, and you don't have to eat everything on your plate, but you sure as hell don't need to complain about the food because somebody else put their heart into it. So, again, thankfully most guests are not like this, but I like to just voice these things so that we can educate ourselves and remind ourselves of what it means to be a good wedding guest.
Live your life within the moment, moment, and don't go wait until the morning, morning. You never know when it is over, over. All that I know is we'll get older, older. So let us dance this night away.